Good morning to you all on this Sunday, which is one of the three major Christian festivals of the church year, Pentecost. We will be highlighting the work of the God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of our triune God. And we also have a very special event this morning, and that is the baptism of Theodore Mess, which will take place right after the opening hymn and the Trinitarian invocation. We open our service with prayer. O Holy Spirit, you have called us to faith through the gospel, and now you live within our hearts, sanctifying us through your word of truth. Please be with us this festival day, and bless us in our worship of Jesus our Savior. Move our hearts to sincere repentance, open our minds to your instruction, and lead us to glorify your saving name. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. And water. I invite you to rise. Welcome to the worship service this day on this Pentecost Festival Sunday. We pray the Spirit of our God be poured out upon us richly as we worship our Savior God in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You may be seated now for the baptismal ceremony. Dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ gave his church the command to baptize when he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Scripture makes plain the universal need for baptism. As children of Adam, we belong to a fallen race. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature and would be lost forever unless delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ. He willingly took on himself the curse of sin and by his death on the cross redeemed us and all people. Christ's almighty word gives baptism its power to save. The Apostle Peter declares baptism now saves you. The Apostle, or Scripture also clearly teaches that the power and the promise of baptism is intended for young and old alike. On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle testified, "This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. By water and the Spirit, we are born again and united with Christ and his people as members of the church." Bringing this child to baptism, you are doing what is God-pleasing. Jesus himself invited little children to become part of his kingdom when he said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Receive the sign of the cross on the head and heart to mark you as a redeemed child of Christ. Let's pray. Almighty and most merciful God, whose promises are to us and to our children, we ask you to look upon this child with your tender mercy and to renew him by your Holy Spirit in this sacrament, that he may be your child and an heir of everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now we're ready for the baptism. Theodore Karl Mess, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has forgiven all of your sins. By your baptism, you are born again and made a dear child of your Heavenly Father. May God strengthen you to live in your baptismal grace all the days of your life. Peace be with you. Amen. Dear parents, our Lord Jesus Christ, in instituting baptism, not only commanded that children should be baptized, but that they also should be taught to obey everything that he's commanded us. I therefore ask you, do you sincerely intend to bring up Theodore in the way of the Lord and to instruct him in the truths of God's saving word so that he may grow in faith, serve God with a Christian life, and remain in his baptismal grace unto the end? If so, answer yes, and we ask God to help us. Dear sponsor, Theodore has been baptized in the name of the Triune God, and it is your privilege and responsibility to remember him in your prayers, remind him of his baptism, and as far as possible, give your counsel and aid that he may be brought up in the true knowledge and fear of God according to the teachings of Scripture as confessed by our Lutheran Church. If you intend gladly and willing to do this, then answer yes, and I ask God to help me. Let us pray. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of baptism by which you wash away sin and give us a new and eternal life. Help us each day to remember that through baptism you clothe us with Christ, and that we may so that we may stand holy and righteous before you. Look with favor on Theodore, that he may be kept safe by the gift of your Spirit, grow daily in your grace, and live forever by the power of the risen Christ. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to all the baptized so that they may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you by his Spirit so that Christ, dwelling in your hearts by faith, may fill you with all of his spiritual blessings. Amen. God's blessings. Continue then with the liturgy as found printed in your service bulletin. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and to serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all of your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Up heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God, Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right and in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. O God, you have enlightened the hearts of your faithful people by sending them your Holy Spirit. Grant us by that same Spirit to grow in faith and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. First of our lessons on this day is the account of that special Pentecost day some 2,000 years ago in the city of Jerusalem, as we find it recorded in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here ends the first lesson. I invite you to join now in the responsive reading of verses from Psalm 51 as printed in your worship bulletin. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth,
for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from your presence.
And do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me by your generous spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways. And our next Bible lesson is drawn from John's Gospel, some words of Jesus in the upper room the night before he died, part of his discourse with his disciples that night in which he foretold his sending of the Holy Spirit upon his people on the day of Pentecost. It's found in John 16, beginning with the fifth verse. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia.
Alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Now you're invited to once again stand as we, on this Pentecost Festival Sunday, confess our Christian faith in the words of Martin Luther's explanation of the third article of the Apostle Creed, which treats the work of the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, sanctification. I believe that I cannot, by my own reasoning or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, nor come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead, and give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. We sing the next hymn. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you all. Amen. On this festival of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, hear a word of Scripture as we find it recorded in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So far our text. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, dearly beloved of God, oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. That is what Moses told his young assistant Joshua at the time when he, Moses, was serving as leader of the Israelite people in the days of the desert wanderings. Moses had just witnessed how God had poured out His Spirit on 70 Israelite men to furnish them with ability for serving as helpers to Moses, who had been suffering from work overload, feeling a bit overwhelmed by the responsibility of being a leader for a congregation of over 2 million. And when two of these 70, Eldad and Medad, started proclaiming God's word to the people in the camp, Joshua got upset. He said, "Moses, you're the man God has called to speak His word to the people." That's when Moses told Joshua, "Oh, how I wish that all the people would receive the Holy Spirit and be furnished with wisdom and talent that enables them to be preachers of God's word." Today on this festival of Pentecost, let's lift our hearts in praise to God for doing just that. We glorify the Lord for His grace that He's shown to His church in blessing us with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who opens our eyes, eyes of faith, to see just like prophets, and who opens our lips to speak like prophets. Now, that all God's people would indeed be blessed with this blessing of serving as prophets of God, that's what Joel is foretelling here in our text. Joel lived roughly maybe 850 years before the special Pentecost event that fell 50 days after Jesus' triumphant resurrection. Prophet Joel predicted, as we read here in our text, "It shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." So the Lord was foretelling through the prophet Joel how in future days He was going to give to all of His Christians ability to see special visions and dreams. Now, your initial reaction to hearing this might be, "How are we to understand that?" Was the Lord predicting that He would give to all His Christians of the future dreams and visions like those He gave to certain of His believers in the past, like a couple examples? You remember Joseph, son of Jacob? When God wanted to convey to a teenager, Joseph, the knowledge that He was going to make him ruler, second command in all of Egypt. So He gave him two visions, one of sheaves that bowed down to his sheaves, and another of a vision of the sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him, so that he would know that he was going to be the one to be ruler later on, second in command in Egypt, and God would use him to be the one who would save his own family from starvation and keep the family line of the Savior alive, that kind of a vision. Or when the Lord wanted Jacob, remember this story in the Bible, to know that his promise of a Savior would be fulfilled in the future, even though he had just committed the bad sin of tricking his brother Esau out of his birthright. Remember how he ran away? A day or two later, he bedded down at night and took a stone for a pillow. He had a dream of a stairway leading up to heaven with the Lord standing at the top and telling him, "And the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, your descendants are going to be the dust of the earth, as numerous as, and in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. You're going to be the ancestor of the coming Savior." Quite a dream the Lord gave to Jacob. And there are many other such examples of visions God gave to his believers in Old Testament times. Again, the question is that what Joel was here speaking about, that God would grant to all Christians in future days? In a word, no. Rather, the dreams he was talking about are the beautiful revelations that he would give to his people, the precious insights that he would give to all Christians through the scriptures that they would hear proclaimed to them, God blessing them with ability to see with eyes of faith things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever conceived of, the wonderful things that God has prepared for them in Christ. Bible examples of this, some of these stories you'll remember. Easter afternoon, remember when Jesus was walking down the road, met up with those two men on the way to Emmaus, and he taught them things written in the scriptures about him when they didn't know who he was and that he had just come alive after being dead. And afterwards that night they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and opened to us the holy scriptures?" The risen Jesus. Beautiful vision that was. When God used his word, another one, the book of Acts. Remember when Philip met up with that Ethiopian man on the way to Gaza, riding in his chariot, and he helped him comprehend that the one that Isaiah was talking about, who was led as a sheep to the slaughter and remained silent as a lamb, keeps quiet before its shears, was none other than Jesus. And when he then asked if he could be baptized, when Philip asked, "Do you believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior?" He said, "I do." And they came to some stream of water. They went down and he got baptized. And he went his way rejoicing. Another example from the book of Acts, Cornelius, the Roman army captain, in anticipation of Peter's coming to him up there in Caesarea, called all his family together and his friends, and when Peter got to his house, he said, "We're all here in the presence of God to listen to all that he has commanded you to tell us." And they were led by the Holy Spirit to put their trust in Christ, and they all got baptized. And then, of course, the Pentecost crowd, especially remember today, another example. They received the message of forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus that Peter preached to them that day with a heart of repentance and faith. They also were baptized and continued meeting for worship and fellowship with hearts that were brimming over with joy in their newfound faith and trust in the Lord. Friends, it's the same blessing that the Holy Spirit continues to pour out upon God's people today through reading and study of hearing and learning of God's word. When you celebrate Christmas and you see with eyes of faith a little child lying in a manger and you rejoice to know that that baby was born for you. When you read about Jesus walking the dusty roads of Palestine during his ministry, preaching and teaching, doing miracles, entering the homes of tax collectors and sinners and sharing with them his life-giving word, showing himself to be their best friend who came from heaven to suffer and die for their sins. And you understand that that same Savior came to be your best friend, to comfort you with his forgiving love, that he went to the cross to atone for your sin guilt, to conquer death in the grave for you, and now he's sitting at God's right hand, directing every minute detail of your life for your benefit, blessing you with the ability to say, "Lord, your words are waters living where I quench my thirsty needs. Your words are bread life-giving, and on your words my spirit feeds. How great is the love of the Father lavished on me that I should be called his own child." And that's what I am. And I know that when he appears, I'll be just like him. I'm going to see him as he is. Or when you say, again with eyes of faith, heart of faith, God has given me a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that can never spoil or fade, kept in heaven for me. And I'm being shielded through faith by God's power till the coming of the salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, whom having not seen yet, I love. What fantastic visions these. What sweet dreams. And they're not illusions. They are for real. And they all come true. No wonder Jesus says to you, like he said to disciples back in the day, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and didn't see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." And now who gets the credit for all this and the praise for your being so blessed with eyes that see these things? Well, the Holy Spirit does. The one who searches the deep things of God and who has enabled you to know these things that God has freely given you in Christ. All praise be to God, the Holy Spirit. And also for giving you the ability to speak like a prophet. Joel writes here, "Thus says the Lord, it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy." Maybe inclined when we hear that word prophesy to think first of the prophesying that in the sense of being able to predict the future. We know there were also examples of that gift given to certain prophets of God in days of old, like three that come to mind: Moses, and that beautiful prophecy he made, there's going to be a prophet that comes in the future. Like me, he said to the Israelites, just like me, from your midst, from your own brothers, he will rise, and he's the one you'll listen to, referring to Jesus, the prophet to come. Or another one, Isaiah, familiar prophecy of the virgin who would conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. What a beautiful prophetic prediction of something in the future that would happen, which God gave to Isaiah back then. And Daniel, another example, at our pastoral conference or delegate conference in Cheyenne this past week, a paper was presented on Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy. 70 weeks are determined, this is like 500 years before Christ, for your people, for your holy city, to finish transgression, make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring everlasting righteousness in, and to anoint the most holy, referring to the Messiah. Again, 490 years, the promised Redeemer of mankind would appear on the earth. God gave Daniel the ability to foretell, as an Old Testament prophet, that that would happen. But you know that most of the time, these men functioned as prophets by proclaiming what God had revealed to them about their own time, truths rich in application for the lives of people in the here and now. And you know, that's what the word prophesy means in its basic sense. A prophet is a person who takes a message that they've heard and conveys it to others. And that is the ability that the Holy Spirit gives to all God's people. He blesses us with ability, with the desire, or the talent, if you will, to take the precious truths of the Bible that God has made known to us, which we have seen with eyes of faith, and then tell them forth to others. See the beginning of that fulfillment of this prophecy of Joel on Pentecost, when the Spirit filled the apostles, enabling them to speak the wonderful works of God to that vast crowd that had gathered together, so that those visitors to Jerusalem could then take the gospel back home where they lived. They had put their trust in Christ and then convey these gospel truths to others in their hometown, to other people. You know, that's how the Holy Spirit still makes prophets today. He gives them opportunity to hear and learn about Jesus, his life, death, resurrection, ascension, promised return, and then equips them and gives them the ability and the eagerness to tell other people about these things. Examples of prophesying today: Christian parents teaching their children about Jesus following their baptism as they grow up. Christian teachers sharing with their pupils in the classroom words of eternal life in Christ. Christians speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in their hearts to the Lord in a worship assembly like we're doing today. One Christian man or woman talking to a friend over coffee, to a neighbor across the fence. Whenever we teach God's word or share it with someone, we're functioning as prophets. That's what Joel was predicting was going to happen by the Spirit's power, not just to a certain group of Christians, but to all Christians of every age level, men, women, boys, girls, this wonderful privilege of spreading the good news of the gospel. Also, an illustrative story to share in this regard. I don't know if you heard the story about a man who was standing in front of a religious bookstore window many years ago and looking at a picture of Jesus that was, he was hanging on the cross, and a young boy happened along and he started looking at that same picture of Jesus on the cross. And this man who was a Christian pointed at the picture and said to the young boy, "Do you know who that is?" An opportunity to share Jesus with him. The boy said, "Yes, that's Jesus. He died for our sins on the cross." The look on his face registered surprise that anybody would not know who Jesus is, because he didn't realize that the man was a Christian too. The man said, "Well, thanks. Thanks for sharing that good news with me." Started to walk away. Didn't get far. He noticed the boy tagging along behind. Turned towards him with a questioning look. "Why is he following me?" "Mister, I wanted to tell you more good news. He rose. He rose again from the dead and went back up to heaven. And he's coming back to take all of his believers to be there too." And I mention that as an example of, in this case, two Christians serving as prophets. The older man used the opportunity to share Christ with the boy, and the boy shared Jesus with a grown-up person. Friends, he blesses you and me the same way today. He gives us eyes through the Holy Scriptures with the ability to see the great truths of our salvation in Christ. And he helps us draw comfort from them, joy and peace for our everyday lives, and then uses us to then speak forth to others the things that we've seen and heard for their blessing too. By the way, just in closing, that was the most wonderful of the miracles that happened on the first Pentecost. It wasn't the outwardly spectacular phenomena of the sound of rushing mighty wind or the cloven tongues of fire that came down to rest on the disciples, or the ability the Spirit gave for them to speak in languages they had never studied. Those were just attention getters designed to attract people for the greater purpose of gathering people together so that the Holy Spirit might perform his most important work, making hearts dead in sin, alive in Christ, causing people to undergo spiritual rebirth through the Word, and giving them eyes to see the wonderful works of God, and that they might speak like prophets, being sharers of the gospel with others. So let's make this our Pentecost prayer. O Holy Spirit, enter in, and in our hearts your work begin. Your dwelling place now make us. Son of our soul, O light divine, around and in us brightly shine, to joy and gladness wake us, that we may be truly living, and to you giving prayer unceasing, and in love be still increasing. Give to your word impressive power, so that in our hearts from this good hour, as fire it may be glowing, that in true Christian unity we faithful witnesses may be, your glory ever showing. Hear us and cheer us by your teaching. Let our preaching, our prophesying, and our labor praise you, Lord, and serve our neighbor. Amen. And now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.
Actually, I intended you to remain seated for prayer, if you'd be seated. And the reason for that is that we have a number of special petitions to offer today, in addition to our regular prayer and the Lord's Prayer. Graduation prayer on behalf of Lisa Schipetti, who graduated from Metropolitan State University of Denver recently, and for Joseph Cornish, who graduated from Emmanuel Lutheran High School in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, yesterday. We also offer a prayer on behalf of Tracy Brethauer, daughter of Fred and Bobby, who was hospitalized recently with a heart ailment, and then a Memorial Day prayer. We pray. Lord, you've been the teacher and the friend of both Lisa and Joe from their earliest days of childhood in each year of their schooling. We thank you for providing them with the mental ability and physical health needed to reach this milestone. We ask for your blessing on their future. We pray that in the path of life lying ahead, that you would guide them in your ways, enable them to increase in their understanding of your gracious will. Bless their growth in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, and expand their opportunities for serving you in your kingdom to their joy and your praise. Amen. Compassionate Father, in your mercy, you transform even sickness and disease into blessings for your children. With this confidence, we commit your servant, Tracy Brethauer, to your tender care. Provide healing and relief, we pray, for her according to your infinite mercy. Grant her patient endurance in her suffering. Help her to find true spiritual strength through her Savior Jesus and his cross. Comfort her family with your promise that all things work together for good to those who love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord of the nations, our country does not deserve your kindness. Yet despite our ungodliness and flagrant disregard for your holy commandments, you continue to bless us with liberty, peace, and protection from our enemies. We thank you. We pray that you would turn the people of America to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, the Savior of all. As we remember on Memorial Day those who have died for our civil liberties, make us grateful for their sacrifice. Lead us to pray more regularly for our country, its leaders, and those who serve in the armed forces. Let peace continue to reign within our borders so that your people may freely share the gospel of forgiveness in Christ throughout our land. Amen. Almighty, eternal, heavenly Father, you have poured out your Spirit on your church, that he may abide with us forever, preserving us in true faith by your word. Grant unto us, as we now call upon your name, all things needed for our spiritual life and salvation. We thank you that by your Spirit you've called sinners like us to faith in Christ. giving us power to believe your word and gathering us into the fellowship of your holy church. Help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to know more deeply and truly the Holy Scriptures, so that we might grow daily in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Empower us to resist the temptations of our enemy, the devil, and instead to follow the things that make for righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Pour out your Spirit upon us, that we may love our Savior with all our hearts and minds, and keep his word with a good conscience. Stir up your church, O Lord, and give us zeal to seek the lost, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring comfort to those afflicted, and to cheer those who mourn. May your Spirit ever live in all of our homes. Lead each child in paths of love and obedience, and give to every parent an understanding heart and gentle ways, so that together each family member may be preserved in your word. To those among us who live alone, grant honor, integrity, the comfort of your abiding presence, and the loving fellowship of friends and the family of faith. Dear Lord, we ask that you'd govern the nations of the earth and help them to acknowledge your power and rule over all, so that they might turn from their evil ways and live. Give unto the authorities in our land wisdom and insight to govern the people of our nation with honor and justice. To all those suffering in trials or temptations, impart the power of your Spirit and the comforting promises of your word. For those who are sick or weary or needy or lonely, give the peace of Christ. Let their prayers rise to you and grant to them all needed things in your mercy. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, we also joined to pray the prayer the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen. When we on that final journey go, that Christ is for us preparing, we'll gather in song, our hearts aglow, joy the heavens sharing, and walk in the light of God's own place, with angels his name adoring.